can walk out of this, you know. I don't have to take this abuse.
Right.
Give us an intro, then, Jim.
Well, the interesting... Welcome to the Paul McKenna and Jimmy Donicar's Go with Joe Parent podcast. Today, possibly regretfully, we have a special guest today.
Very special guest.
Very special guests, plural.
Our first ever double guest.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is
like,
it?
Yeah.
Double act. Like Morecambe and Wise.
Very, very.
Yeah, worryingly
those
so.
Those voices are...
Liz and Dave Cosgrove, parents of the BBC One sitcom writer Jimmy Donicar.
Welcome. And what's your specialist subject going to be?
Whatever.
Well, what Jimmy said earlier.
Not whatever. I've told you what your specialist subject is.
Well, you told us it was going to be a pig race, and then you changed it to being together for 50 years. So your choice is yours.
So your specialist subject today is going to be marriage, a long, happy marriage, and how you...
Oh, well, there's no point in asking us
to. Yeah. Just kind of sticking it out for 50 years might be better. We were together 50 years last year, so...
Yeah, 1970 we met.
What's is 50 golden?
No.
Not from your own
stand. Where did you meet?
I worked at the local newspaper, and our sports editor was leaving, and he had a leaving do in the local football ground. Actually, that's not strictly true. We'd already met, and we knew each other. We lived on the same estate, but it was always just like, hello, Liz, hello, Dave, and that was it.
But, I actually fancied him.
She did fancy the pants off me.
And, I never said that. I just said I used to fancy him. I used to go up the football and watch him on a Wednesday night playing
five-a-side
football. Yeah. Secretly liking him.
So,
what was it that first attracted
him? Oh, God knows. Everything. Actually, it's hard to remember from this long ago. Actually, I thought he was quite tasty then.
Hang on, so wasn't you going out with his mate or something, Calvin?
Oh, I went out with Kelvin, yeah.
Before. About a year before.
Yeah.
What's so Calvin? You knew Calvin?
Yeah.
Oh, Kelvin worked at the Gazette as well.
And he didn't mind?
We didn't have a bloody choice, did he? He was going out with someone else.
Oh, right,
yeah,
okay.
No, I wasn't going out with Kelvin when I went out with Dave.
What was the difference between Calvin and Dave? I think I remember you telling me.
He was a rugby player.
No, David. Yeah.
And he did have a massive dick.
Yeah. I think the side of the story should have come from me, actually. Yeah, they were rather different.
I used to call him Flagpole at the rugby club.
He was like 6'3" or 6'4" rugby player, and Dave wasn't...
I wasn't Jack Russell.
What did he used to do, the elephant, wasn't it? What did he used to do?
No, Kelvin was the one.
Everybody's done that. Pull out your trousers. Pull out the pockets of your trousers and flop your knob out.
Yeah.
This is my elephant impression.
That's a true story.
Always used to pull the birds, that one, didn't
you? Well, for other people.
For Kelvin.
Never worked for Dave. Yeah, worked for Kelvin.
Which is my baby husband.
Much of the laugh.
Right, so anyway, go on.
Anyway, I forgot what we were saying. You asked me a question.
So you went that way. Dave, he asked you
out. Yeah, and I said yeah.
Because you fancied him. You didn't know she fancied you.
No. No, I had no idea. I mean, all the women in the estate fancied me. I knew that. But
you didn't live on the same estate.
Yeah, we did.
So Nanny Ben moved?
No, we lived on South Ham. Same estate.
That's the same...
Yeah. South Ham, based in Stoke.
3/4 mile between the houses, I suppose.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And what age were you at this point?
16.
She was 16, I was 18.
So young. Silly, too young, really. But
yeah.
You don't know. It's
and your mum hated me at first. On sight.
How did you know that she
hated me? Well, because
she told me.
No, he talked me out. And me and my mum were on a bus going into town, double-decker bus, and it drove past where you must have been on the bus and you got off. And he walks like he's got his hands in his pockets. And he was chewing. And my mum looked close. She went, oh, look at him. He'd have a fight. Oh, God, he's taking me out. Didn't bode well.
Your mum was obsessed by people having fights, wasn't she?
Yeah, and little people. She didn't like little people. So he was on a loser from the start, really, wasn't he?
Did you win her round? Did he never.
I don't think he ever did, no.
No.
Never?
For a while I thought I had, but then in the end...
He's a good husband.
Yeah, it was clear. It was.
Yeah, that's all she used to say. He's a good husband. Yeah. But I quite liked him, so he did.
That's all right. I mean, being a good husband, I mean, you could say worse things than that.
Yeah.
Or did she? You think she
did
meant...
say long words.
All right. So you got married in 75.
We did.
Yeah. And on the way to the church, you went. Were you in the car with Grandad?
Oh, I was. And my dad. Bless him. So we got in the car. In fact, just as we got in the car, the sun went in. It was a beautiful sunny day. And the sun went in, and I've thought of that moment a lot through life. You're trying to tell me something. Anyway, so I get in the car, and my dad says, "Now, you sure? You sure?" I said, "Yeah, no, I am." "Well, you don't have to, because I've got all the stuff. We can go back. We can have a party. Don't mind if you don't want to do it." I said, no, I'll give it a go. It's all right. You know, it's okay. I'll do it." "All right, then." And then we sat the rest of the way in silence, and then... we just got to the church just to see Dave's bum getting out of a car. So he'd gone to the pub with his brother. And the pub's about, I don't know, half a mile from the church maybe. So he's walking along to the church with his brother. The wedding's at 3:30. And this is like 3:25. And a girl from work pulls up. She said, "You Dave?" He said, "Yeah." "Marrying this?" He said, "Yeah. You better get in. I think you might be a bit late." She drove into the church to make sure he wasn't late.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's been late for everything ever since, honestly. Yeah.
You always tell me I'll come to
see you. You have come early a few times.
Cut.
So how old were you when you got married then?
21 and 23. Ridiculously
young. That is scary. Because we look at, like, Jim now, we were on our fourth house by the time we were Jim's age.
Yeah. Third kid, fourth house. Wow.
Yeah, but it was different then. At 21, you was kind of like almost on the shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a different, it's 1975, it was very different then.
But like a lot of my parents' friends and things got married at that age, and nearly all of them are still together. Yeah. I always find that, but is it, why do you think that is? Is it an attitude of like your generation of like you don't get divorced?
Yeah, definitely. Really? Yeah.
And besides, I would never. I mean, that first year, I hated the very breath we breathed. We used to fight and argue over everything. We actually come to blows once, didn't we? So when you get married, like you don't have this living together. You can't just walk away. So like in our house, we used to take the top off the toothpaste, throw it in the bin, and that was it. In his house, everyone used to put the toothpaste lid back on. And of course, I didn't. We couldn't even find it.
You're disgusting.
So crusty
toothpaste.
And he come from only brothers, so they always left the seat up. So all these little things are bickering and bickering. What did you do that made me jump over the bed and try and punch her? I can't remember. It doesn't matter what. It's not important. But
so you haven't
been doing my elephant impression.
Yeah, bastard, weren't you, Kelvin? But no, I just went flying over the bed, and that was it. He was going to die. I was going to kill him. And you just grabbed hold of my arms, didn't you?
Yeah, I said, like, "Do you want me to?" We shouted at each other, and I said, "Do you want me to drive you to your mum's?"
I said, "God, no, I can't let them know they were right." So we stuck it out.
What did he get you for your first wedding anniversary?
Pregnant. No, that's a joke. He did. What did you get me?
I know.
Yeah. He took us to a... Yeah.
It was very romantic. I took you to Tottenham. Watch football.
Tottenham versus somebody.
Swansea. And we lost 3-1.
I thought he'd got you an ironing board cover.
No, that was Christmas bastard. Yeah. I said, apparently, this made it worse. He said to me that he'd hidden my Christmas presents under the bed and in the ironing because, you know, I wouldn't find either of them, which is true because I didn't. But he bought me an ironing board cover. For the first Christmas,
it was a very nice ironing board cover. I seem to recall. It cost me a lot of money.
Ironing board cover. Why would you do that?
You don't even iron. I've never seen you iron.
No, she don't. No, perhaps I was just trying to give
bit of a hint.
No, it weren't going to work. Wasn't going to work.
No, I've never seen you iron. You often. You iron in front of Match of the Day on a Sunday normally.
That's right. It does.
Yeah. Well, I used to get up on a Sunday morning, put the football on, and iron while I'm watching the football. And she used to come down and moan.
So did you move into a house straight away after being married?
Yeah, we bought a flat and moved in.
Where was this flat in?
In Basingstoke.
In Basingstoke.
Yeah. We both moved out from London. I was 12, you'd have been 9 or 10, wouldn't
you? Yeah, both at 10, I think, yeah.
Both had dads work for Sainsbury's and they moved the depot from London to Basingstoke. They were both lorry drivers. Our dads knew each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm. Where were you in London then, both of you?
I was in Dulwich.
I was at the Elephant Castle.
Dulwich?
Yes.
No, it wasn't Dulwich. It was Dogkennilil. Don't believe this Dulwich. It was Dogkennilil.
My address
flats
was
at the top.
Wilton House, east of Dulwich.
He thought he was posh because they had an inside toilet and we didn't. That's what that was all about. But it really wasn't posh. Was that the one where you shared it with all the people on the flat? Or did you have your own one?
No, that was Paddington.
Oh, right.
That was somewhere.
So you had your own What do you mean you had a toilet indoors?
We didn't have a toilet. When Will lived at the Elephant, you didn't have a toilet indoors. It was out the back. So
you called the
Kazi. Shut up. You used to have to go out through the kitchen door and round the back, and it was the toilet was outside at the end.
Well, so actually
go
out.
Go outside to go to the toilet. Oh, yeah. But of a night.
Was the seat cold?
No, because we had a wooden seat. So it was warm. And then one of my aunts bought a plastic seat, and we all rejected it because it was really cold on your bum. Yeah. But my job, we were so... We used to live in like a commune with my nan and aunts and all sorts of stuff. And I used to share a double bed with my nan, and she used to take a pail, not bucket, a pail they used to call it, up to bed, and you could piss in the pail. You couldn't poo, you had to go downstairs, but you used to piss in the pail. And my job every morning was to walk the bucket of piss, empty the pail. And we was Catholics, and I used to walk down with my hand on the bucket, and I used to put one hand on the banister and one step, stop. Dear Jesus, next step, stop. Please don't let me fall down the stairs, next step, stop, the bucket of piss. I never did, but it was terrifying. Every morning I was traumatised.
How long did you share a bed with your...
Till I moved out when I was 10, so we moved to Basingstoke.
How come you shared with her then?
Because just the way the house was, Ed and Mike had a bedroom.
Three-story house, yeah.
Mum and Dad had the other bedroom upstairs. We had a front room upstairs. Andy was in with them, and I was in with me nan and one of her sisters.
Three of you in there?
Yeah. I mean, one of the sisters had a bed on the floor.
To be fair, it was a big room.
They were big rooms. Well, they felt like big rooms. Yeah. It was good. I loved it. Absolutely. I think that's why I like open doors and lots of people, because, yeah, we had...
Does she stink?
No. Not at all.
Oh, I could not.
Her piss.
How old was she?
My nan. I don't know.
Well, that time,
back,
probably 50-ish.
50-odd, oh, right, okay. Yeah.
She wasn't really old.
So what do you think the keys are to a successful marriage?
Oh, God knows.
I really don't know. I mean, we're good friends as well as anything else.
It does make me laugh.
Yeah, we make each other laugh. And we've never been the lovey-dovey sort.
No,
we're
not. Never. Nah. No, more mates than that. Yeah.
And, you know, if I ever want an honest opinion on something I've done, she'll give it to me. Whether I'm right or wrong, she'll give me her opinion. And to be fair, I do value that opinion. She takes absolutely no fucking notice of anything I say.
He said, well, I used to go and watch him play football every Sunday. I never missed. And they was doing Player of the Year and all that. And I got a vote because I used to always go down and watch. He said, well, at least I got two votes, mine and yours. I ain't vote for you. I'll vote for Bob Smith. He's much better than you. And he won, so he must have been right. Yeah, it must have been right.
You moved from Basingstoke. You had Leanne, my older sister, Leanne. And then you moved... out of Basingstoke.
To Weyhill.
To Andover, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what made you make that move?
Because the houses were cheaper. We couldn't afford the next house up on our estate, and yet we could afford a four-bedroomed place with half an acre in Andover, just 20 minutes up the road.
And so, I was working in Andover.
And he was working. So we decided the money would save in petrol, we could put on the mortgage, and we got a really lovely place, and we only sold it 3 months ago from 1984. Oh, wow. I think
that was Jimmy was born there. So
that's
where you grew up?
Yeah. Oh, wow. In fact, she was probably pregnant with Jim.
When we left. Yeah.
But you didn't know?
No.
No, but it was the first night, the last night in Basingstoke. Well, actually not, yeah, I ticked the date off because that was the last time I remember getting.
When he was born, right, you had to go to Winchester. I don't know why.
20 miles away.
Yeah, Andover had its own... just small maternity unit, but you had to drive to Winchester. And about 8 o'clock in the night, I'd had a lot of movement. He was like moving around, then it all went away. And I woke Dave up, it must have been about 2:45, and I said, I think the baby's coming, my waters are gone, terrible pains. I said, I'm just going to go and ring the neighbour who's going to come look after Leanne. Anyway, I couldn't find him. Dave, these pains are really coming. He's in Jimmy's bedroom to be measuring for double glazing. It's 2:50 in the morning and he's measuring for double glazing. So I encouraged him to come down and take me to the hospital. It was the most terrifying drive of my life. There are pains. I'm hurry up, slow down. Anyway, we got there and he abandoned the car and we went up in the lift. They opened the doors. I said, I think I got to push. And they said, go in that room. I went in that room and he was born. It was like 2-3 minutes later. It was terrible.
Wow.
So he bends down. I think he's going to kiss me. He kept going. He'd fainted. And then just stepping over him. Yeah.
Like Was Jim very different from Leanne?
Yes, Jim
away.
Was extremely different from Leanne. Yeah. For a start, he had the cord around his neck.
He did have the cord around his neck when he was born.
We did actually put quite a bit down the back of the sign, didn't we?
But Leanne was like textbook baby. You could sit her in the middle of the room with your best china around the edge, and you come back 10 minutes later and she's counting her toes in French or something. She was really clever. And
can I just butt in there? She was quiet in the back of the car once. She must have been 4. Mm. And she said, "What are you doing, Leanne?" She said, "I've got Van Cees teeth." She's 26 in French. She can't
remember. Wow.
And then we had Jim. He was in the crib.
Whirlwind, wasn't he?
He was in the crib, and I'm looking at him. And the nurse came in. I said, "I was looking at him just now." She said, "I said, well, he's looking the other way now." She said, "You'll have trouble with that one." And I remembered her words, because we really did. Turned out he was allergic to a lot of food, but we didn't know this. So I'd give him, I don't know, a bar of chocolate, like I'd give his sister. And then 5 minutes later, he'd be bouncing off the walls, and all our ornaments didn't have heads on. And it was
Coke was the worst thing. Coca-Cola, wasn't it? Oh.
He could run for a mile, couldn't he, on a Coke?
I would walk in, so you're giving him Coke today?
Yeah, and he'd be sitting in the So, yeah, they were very different, very, very different.
But he's definitely got probably ADHD or something. Oh, now, do you think it's the sort of thing that would have been diagnosed?
Oh, he'd have been diagnosed Asperger's.
Is this news to you, Jim?
No, you'd have been Asperger's, but without a doubt. No, he would, without a doubt. You had a lot of issues with the social side of things and the not known side of things. But in those days, they were just naughty.
You just said it was a cord round.
Yeah, he was naughty, that was it.
What people used to say when he was breaking heads off everything was, he's a boy.
He's a boy.
That was all we used to get.
Yeah, that was always the excuse. Yeah. We stopped having ornaments.
We actually went to our friends one time, and they had 2 kids, and there was no toys out or anything. We didn't think nothing of it. And he was really well behaved that day, wasn't he? And the little boy said, Mum, Jimmy ain't broke nothing. We could have got out our toys.
What?
Jimmy hasn't broken anything. We could have got the toys out.
What age did you think, Jimmy's probably going to lose his hair at some point? Why did it start looking thin? Or
it didn't really.
I didn't really notice it.
No.
It was just getting thinner. Didn't really notice it.
You'd lost yours quite early, so we always presume. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry, Mr. Cosgrove, but your wife's got cancer. Next morning,
I've kept mine
on the pillow.
It's literally lost it.
Really?
Yeah. I really lost it quickly.
Yeah. Really? Overnight?
Presumably shock. I don't know. I'm presuming
the stress. So what age were you when you were diagnosed with cancer?
I got it for my 39th birthday, literally.
Really?
Yeah, I went for the appointment and the man said date of birth. I said, today, funny enough, and we got chatting and he said, we're pretty certain it is breast cancer. And I sort of went, he said, what's the matter? I swear it wasn't on my birthday list. I just was like, really, wow. And that was it really, wasn't it, on the journey.
And just the new thing, the stress and everything.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful. I was fortunate. In as much as my job at that time, I was production manager in a printing company, so I had to keep 8 presses running.
Yeah.
And I would get into work and people would immediately leap on me. Where's the paper? Where's this? Where's that? Where's this coming in? And it meant that all day I wasn't thinking about Liz. I was just thinking about, right, let's sort this out. Let's get this going. It wasn't until the journey home that I started to think, negative thoughts, really.
He had a first car.
Had I been a rep where I was just driving one appointment, I'd have been in bits. Yeah. I'd have been down.
But we now what your work paid for.
Oh, an au pair.
Didn't they?
Well, I went into work and I said, look, I'll get in when I get in and I'll go home when I go home, and I can't promise you anything. And they said, do you want an au pair? And I said, I can't afford it. And I said, no, we'll pay. We'll so pay they for paid it. For a.
So you had someone living with you?
Yeah, the lovely Viola.
She was
Tell us about Viola.
Oh, she was wonderful.
Where was she from?
East Germany. She was lovely. I was expecting a hairy, unputted shot putter.
She was just adorable.
What year was this?
Year I had radiotherapy. 92? So I think it was 92,
Wow.
Yeah, she was just amazing.
So I remember her arriving And we were in Leanne's room, and Leanne, classic Leanne, border was the kings and queens of England. Do you remember the border around her room was the kings and queens
what
of England?
What was your border?
Thomas.
Yeah, it was Thomas the Tank. Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe been Turtles.
Turtles by that point, yeah. And I remember saying to her, because she was German, all I know was Germans were bad because of the war, and I remember saying to her, do you like Hitler? But, you know, it didn't cross my mind, you know. And she went, no. But her English was quite poor at the start, wasn't it?
When she arrived,
that's why they come, to learn the language.
We've never done anything like this before. It's not our world to employ au pairs. And we got a load of CVs of people's pictures, and we chose her from her pictures.
It's like an early Tinder.
Well, pretty much, because she had lovely, kind eyes. And we had some friends over who both worked in HR, Bill and Roger, and they helped us to pick. And you wanted the one with the eyes like a stripper. But the rest of us, we preferred the one with the kind eyes. And we picked her up from the airport. And that was the first time we'd ever met her. Yeah. And we had like 2 weeks with her before my treatment started. And we kind of took her all over the place. We took her everywhere. We treated her like one of the kids because we wanted her to feel at home and look after the kids the way we would. And this friend that had helped us to pick her, she'd been with us. I suppose I'd been in treatment about a month, hadn't I? And he came over. And how's things going, Viola? Oh, I am having a lovely time, she says. I've been to Bath. I've been to Bournemouth. And I've been to Land. We realised then how terrible we spoke. Our accents. We to up the ante.
She's come to learn English.
Yeah, and she dropped something on the floor. She went, Jesus. So we did try and change things a little bit and improve it for her.
Did you find people treating you differently, or like, how were people around you when you were ill?
Actually, yeah, they very much so. very much so. Initially, we went out just not long after I've had my first operation, and we went to a party, and everyone was like, oh, are you okay? Do you want to sit down? No, don't do that. Just be normal. But we were in town. I'd gone shopping one Saturday, and I saw a lady that used to look after Vicky when she was small, and she said, oh, hello, you're right. I said, not really. I said, I just found out I've got breast cancer. I said, you know, obviously really upset, but you look so well, so I feel fantastic. Do you know what? She said, it's funny because my friend's mum, she had breast cancer, and she looked just like you. And do you know what? 3 weeks later, she was dead.
Oh, my God.
I've got that to look forward to. And they had another lady come round. This was after the second time I had it. And she came around, she said, oh, my God, I hear the cancer's back. You must be devastated. It's just so, I can't imagine how you're feeling, but life goes on. Can you have the girls for me Friday? Yeah, just unbelievable. I think it's because people don't know what to say, so they get a bit,
they say something wrong.
Yeah, they do say something wrong. But having said that, like when I had radiotherapy, when I had chemotherapy, everyone was amazing. People would rally round, you'd be taken to treatments, kids would be picked up from school, so people were great.
And so you got the all clear from the cancer, did you?
Eventually, came back a year later, and I had a reconstruction, which was quite a thing. They cut like a shape from your back, pull it under your skin here, cut the bosom off, and sew the shape of like an eye into the front. And then they put a bag full of water that they used to put a great big needle in. I used to have to go 2 or 3 times a week and stretch the bag to make this shape into a bosom. Yeah, it's very clever.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they made you a nipple from down by your Mary. So they cut a big circle. So, and then they put like a bit of, like a row of stitching that kind of pulled the nipple look. And then they sew it on the end of your pretend bosom. But you've got pubes growing out of it. So it's not the best thing.
You're right, Jim.
No, it came back. I did 3 big times and 2 smaller times in all. So, yeah, it was a bit persistent. But got the all clear about 2 years ago, didn't I, eventually?
A final all clear.
Yeah, 23 years I was under their care. 23
years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then, you had a health scare recently.
Yeah, last October, yeah. I went to the doctors in pain, and they said, he said, I think it's appendicitis, but I'm worried about it. So he sent me down to the hospital. Got down there for a scan, and they said, oh, another bloke doing the scan's gone home. You've got to come back tomorrow. So I went back the next day. This was at 9 o'clock. They give me the scan. When sat in the waiting room, they come out and said, go home, get some pyjamas and come back. And then the next day they operated and they found cancer behind the appendix and took away 10 inches of bowel and 10 inches of intestine. They reckon I'm all clear, so that's it. They
so took do you eat less now?
No.
No.
So we look like we
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, nothing's changed. If I didn't see a scar when I in the mirror, I don't feel it. I'm still playing with football.
How do these health scares then impact how you think about marriage or maybe if anything happens?
Oh, it makes a huge difference, huge difference. You kind of realise you do like each other.
If one of you were to pass away or something, would you want them to remarry the other partner?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, someone else has got to suffer my I'm not keeping that to myself.
One of our friends lives in Tenerife and it's basically, she's single and it's like a shag fest out there, so... At the funeral, I'm going to be going to the vicar. Can you get him
one of
them? One of the after effects of what I've had, all the treatment I've had, is that I've got quite a bad heart, and he reckons he's going to shag me to death is his dream. That's what he wants to do.
That's right. Yeah. She actually said sometimes she'll say, stop, because her heart's going...
Oh, yeah, stop.
Yeah. But that's what I say, you know, I'm going to keep going. And at the funeral, that was me.
Cause of death.
Boredom. Yeah.
Why do you think so many marriages fail then? What do you think they get wrong that you've got right?
I think with us, we've never done... I mean, he's told me he loves me once... since 1970.
I don't believe that.
This is the actual gossip.
And I think
truth.
I know when it was.
It was I had my first breast cancer operation. I had a lumpectomy. I had a big bag hanging from the side of me. All bits were leaking. And we came home and I'd getting undressed for bed. And he went to me, I do love you, really. I just said, fuck me, I must be dying. And it absolutely ruined the moment. And he's never said it since.
No, he said it one other time.
When?
And that was when he was singing.
Louis Armstrong. Louis Armstrong. He does do a good Louis Armstrong.
I didn't say it, I just actually sung it.
Yeah.
And you did look at the
really cruise. Sing, I love you. Whoa,
you
that is
me,
a very good
thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
And I got a standing ovation, actually.
Yeah, and I did cry, so you told me twice.
We were on a cruise.
Where does Jimmy get his showing off?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, so we both.
I got told years ago at work, because I used to sing and bugger about and everything, and a bloke said to me, trouble with you, Dave, is you're a frustrated entertainer. And I never knew what he meant until we started doing the pigs, really.
Yeah, we did.
We do fluffy pig racing.
Go on, you better.
Hang on, yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
this is for charity, isn't it? You do fluffy pig racing for charity.
We do, yeah, for charity. So they're battery-operated pigs. And they, well, you race them in a row. They've got all different batteries. You take them out, put them in, and we do running commentaries. They've all got silly names, like, give me one. Some of the names.
David Beckham.
We got Harry Trotter, all that kind of thing. Elvis
Del Boy
Pinsley,
Trotter.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff.
And
they all
dressed up as
Piggy Sue. Oh, you did that.
For the benefit of the tape, I don't think this is going to go quite so well.
I've got a pig along just to show you. But,
it's a podcast, though.
They've all got random strength.
Understand why you're here.
So what, you like...
And they Now they've started walking.
So
there's
six of them in a row. And we
they
actually,
race.
The table's
they
about
race.
As long
yeah.
as this.
Oh.
And they race, and the first one over the edge wins.
So you do all the commentary as they're going
along?
Yeah,
we do,
yeah. I'm the one with the mic, and Liz is doing all the other bits. But
How did you get into that then?
Well, we saw a bloke doing it, and he was called Somerset Pig Racing, and I said to Liz, I reckon I could do that. And she said, yeah, I reckon you could as well. So we made a call. My brother helped me make a course. And we started it, and it flew off to start
really
with, didn't
done
it?
Well.
Because it was so unusual.
We actually raised a lot of money.
Yeah, we have raised a lot of money, yeah. But
so where do you do it? Like events?
Anywhere.
You've done it at funerals and weddings, haven't you?
We actually did a funeral.
Apparently, the fella came up and he said, my dad liked to laugh and he liked to bet. He said,
he
I'd
said,
like
so
you to do that at
would
his
you
wake.
Do it at his wake?
I did
really
say
well.
This is the most bizarre thing
I've ever done.
But,
yeah.
Were you all in black then?
No. Everybody was. Yeah, it was brilliant. It really went well, didn't it? But we've done loads of charity stuff and things like that. Right, it does raise a lot of money, actually.
It can do, yeah.
Do you fight still?
Most days we argue.
Well, we don't get a bed on an argument. That's the difference.
No, never have. But he annoys me most days.
My mum and dad used to argue. It'd start on a Monday, and on the Friday they were still going. But they had no idea what the argument started. And I vowed that I wouldn't have the last word.
So how do you not go to bed on an argument? What's the, do you just agree to disagree? No.
In these dreams. No, we've always had a row, but it's done. And I've tried to make the kids do that as well. You say what you say, but don't keep it on. It's true though, isn't it?
I'd ask Paul this. I think if we've had a row, then 10 minutes later, one of us have said sorry.
Yeah.
It never lasts.
I think my...
No. And I'm not saying you're my husband, but it feels like it sometimes.
I think I've got that from my parents as well. They bicker and argue all the time. Yeah. It's a very sort of solid, but it's just, that was what it was.
That's the way it is.
You shout at each other, get it over, 10 minutes later, it's all forgotten.
Oh, my mum and dad, to be honest, but my mum and dad would be arguing downstairs, and someone would say something and walk out the room and go upstairs, and the other one would open the front door or the lounge door and shout something up the stairs, and the other one would come back down and say something and go back up, and the other one then open, and this would carry on and on and on. And I remember one time in the end, my mum didn't have anything else to say, so she just opened the door and shouted, "Bollocks!" She couldn't think of anything else.
We bicker a lot, but I don't think we have big serious rows very often.
No.
I think one of the worst we had, Leanne was only about three, and we were out in the garden, and he'd said to me, "Don't put that gazebo up, it's going to snow. No, it's going to rain, it's going to be windy," I put the gazebo up, and of course he was right, the wind blew down and it broke the gazebo leg. And he's behind me going, "Tanya, Sam." And I picked up the leg of the broken gazebo and I ran up the garden like... with a javelin
like someone
in my head.
From Zulu.
I was just running. I was gonna keep having with it. He was gonna die, and then this little boy said, Mummy, please don't kill Daddy. Oh, we'll put it down just But that's probably the worst we've had, I think.
Yeah, we've had a few.
Yeah, but yeah, nothing.
Not bad for 50 years though.
Oh no, absolutely not. And I suppose I do still quite like him.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I'm not convinced.
I do.
Sometimes.
I do sometimes. I think that's what it is. It's not super soppy.
Yeah.
You're just mates. And I think because we've never done the lovey-dovey stuff, then you
can't... lasted longer.
Yeah, because we've never... I don't know what the word jealous means. I really don't. And so that helps as well. Not that there's much to be jealous about. And I'd know if he was having an affair anyway, because he'd come in the door with his arms up like that.
I'm sure.
Yeah, you would.
What's up? Nothing.
Nothing. But yeah, no, I think that's it. We don't do the lovey-dovey, so there's nothing kind of... The light don't go out because it was never a light in the first place. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like with a football, like footballers that play into old age. If they never had pace to lose,
that's right. You play forever. Old age footballers. Yeah.
Mama, Papa, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
You probably knew it all.
Yeah, did
well,
you
no,
know
actually, I didn't. I didn't know you were. There's quite a bit of stuff I didn't know. You asked. I actually thought you met at school.
Oh right.
So I didn't know that. I didn't know you were 18. I thought you were sort of 14 and 16. Actually, I knew Calvin was involved somehow. I knew you'd got round Arthur for the fucking school.
Yeah, all right. Well, I knew I was had to cram it in before I met your father.
Yeah. I think that's all things I didn't know. But no, thank you very much for coming in.
It's been good. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Liz, Dave, thank you. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it with a friend.
Not just a friend.
No, okay. If you like the podcast, genuinely, and if you haven't shared it, share it. Okay, please. If you haven't shared it, share it. Liz, Dave, thank you.
Thanks,
thank you for having me.